This morning, please take your Bible and open to the book of Acts, chapter number 4, and we're going to start with verse number 5. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 5. Just to set the stage here for the message, you can see in the verses leading up to this chapter that Peter and John have been preaching God's word, and some of the folks that heard the messages that were being brought, especially those who are Pharisees and Sadducees, and perhaps some others, were not very pleased with what was happening. In fact, in chapter 4, it mentions in verse number 2 that they were grieved. They were grieved by the preaching of Peter and John. So I pick it up at verse number 5 of Acts chapter 4, and it says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem." I don't know what you think when you read all those names and titles and so forth, but it can't be a good meeting, in my opinion. Verse 7, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole.'" By the way, you remember him being healed and jumping up and leaping and praising God and all that kind of stuff? "Well, besides the preaching, they also saw a miracle done. And so they were asking, you know, 'By what name have you done this?'" Verse number 10, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." You get the idea, don't you? They were speechless. Nothing you can say about a lame man that was healed by the miraculous power of God. Verse 15, "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name.' And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, 'Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.' So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed." Now, I'm going to stop right here, but I want you to know that if you were to read further, you'd find out that Peter and John went back to their church family and rehearsed what had just happened, and they all prayed and sang praises unto the Lord and so forth. But I want to concentrate on the fact that Peter and John said basically this: "You don't want us to preach God's word. We want you to know that we don't have a choice. We have to speak. We have to tell others what our Lord has done for us, for this man who was healed, for anyone who would receive him as their personal Savior." So Peter and John, though forbidden to preach the witness for Jesus Christ, their response was not belligerent. and not rebellious, but just because of what God had done in their hearts and lives, they said, we can't help but preach and teach the good news of salvation and the miracle-working power of God. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I want to talk to you this morning, just for a few moments, on this title, Speak Up for Jesus. Speak up for Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that we have the privilege to know you as our personal Savior and our Lord. Thank you also for all the ways that you have worked in our lives and the miraculous things that we have seen done as we have lived out our Christian life. And I know there are many more things to come. You have been so very good and gracious to each and every one of us. How can we not speak up for Jesus? Please give us the boldness and the courage to speak up for you, Lord, and to be a witness and a testimony for our Savior. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday, my wife and I took a trip up to Green Bay. We had the men's prayer meeting first, and I didn't get to stay for the whole thing because I had to leave by 10 o'clock to get up to Green Bay in time for this funeral. There was a man who had passed away. It just so happened that in my very first church in Appleton, I was privileged to perform the wedding ceremony for he and his wife. And recently he passed away, and when I heard about the funeral, I had to go because I love these people, and I love them very much and have for a number of years. And it seems that the older I get, the more people that I know and have ministered to, and several that I have performed the marriage ceremony for, are slipping away and going off into their eternity. And I got to be able to be a part of a service yesterday for this couple, and seeing their children now, which were babies when I was in Appleton. Of course, they're now fully grown and have kids of their own, and it reminds you again about how fast time flies. But hearing the different testimonies, and one particular testimony of a brother-in-law, actually, of the man who is deceased, mentioned going to that church in Appleton, mentioned how faithful his brother-in-law was to get him into church and how the church had helped his life and different things. And I just got to thinking back about all the years of ministry that I've been involved in, and people like this who have been helped by, you know, the simple teaching and preaching of God's Word. It really does work miracles in people's lives, and to be able to be a part of that. And it made me think about, by the way, Kathy, I thought about you yesterday sitting there in the service, because you wouldn't know this, you folks wouldn't know this, but Kathy came up. I was sitting in my chair over here just a few services ago. She walked up here close enough where she could speak to me, and she said, was it 3 years ago? Is that what you told me? 3 years ago to that very day, and she mentioned three thoughts. And you might remember if you were in the service. But three thoughts that I gave during the service for her husband, George. Life is short. Eternity is long. Salvation is free. Those were the three points of the sermon that I gave at her husband's funeral. And Kathy, I don't mind telling you, I thought about those three points during that service, because I thought about this man who had passed. I thought about his brother-in-law's testimony. I thought about their children. Their children know the Lord as their Savior. And they talked about Dad's great example and his reading the Bible and praying with them and how he disciplined them. And it's exactly, Sarah said to me, that's exactly what you taught when you were in the church. And he was following the same exact things. And it brought all those memories back from years ago. And here's my thought, and this is why I bring this up to start this message. We all need to be speaking up for Jesus. We need to be speaking up for Jesus to our family, our children, our mate. We need to be speaking up for Jesus with our relatives, our friends and our neighbors, our co-workers. We all need to be speaking up for Jesus every chance that we get. And the thought, you know, hope you get this as we go through the outline, how can we not, when the Lord has done so much for us? Amen. That's Peter and John's message to these government officials. Yes, you don't want us to speak and preach for the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't want us to tell others about how to get saved. You don't want us to share the good news of salvation. with others. You would just assume we all just be quiet and keep it to ourselves. But we cannot keep it to ourselves. We must speak up. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now let me get into the outline real quick so I can get through this before we have lunch. But number one thought I want to bring to your attention this morning is this. Every believer, please don't miss that. Every believer has much to say. Every believer has much to say. You might think to yourself, well, Pastor, I'm just a person sitting here in the pew, and I'm just a nobody, and I don't have the messages that you have, and I haven't been called of God like you have, and I don't have the biblical training like you have. But what about what God has done for you? What about God's gift of salvation? What about God giving you the Holy Spirit of God? What about the Bible that you have? What about all the prayers that He has answered? What about all the things that He has done in your life since the moment you got saved? I believe myself, and I stand on firm ground when I say this, every believer has much to say. We all have much to say. You may not have the biblical training that I have, and you may not have a degree, and you may not have all those, you know, for me, thousands of messages that I've preached through the years, but friend, you have the Lord and what He's done for you. You have much to say. For instance, you can testify about His free grace. Every one of us are saved by the grace of God, right? Every one of us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We all have that. Everybody here who knows Jesus Christ as your Savior, me included, we were saved by the grace of God. Had nothing to do with our works or what we've done or how we've lived. We're all saved by the grace of God, and it was free. The grace of God is completely free to us. Can you not testify of that? You can testify of His free grace. You can testify of His rich love. God loves you so very much. Every one of us deserve that place called hell. Every one of us deserve that, me included. But His great love for us, His rich love for us, has sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the cross to be crucified, then buried, then risen again the third day, so that you and I, because He loves us, so that you and I could belong to Him and be His own personal possession. I'm not sure why God loves us, but I know He does, and the cross proves that. He loves us in spite of who we are. He loves us in spite of what we've done. Again, I can't explain that, but I'm glad it's true. We can all testify of His free grace, His rich love. Listen, friend, we can all testify of His wonderful promises. The Bible that you have with you today that you're looking at, hopefully, is full of rich and precious promises to every child of God. There's hundreds of them in there. Hundreds of promises to God's children. All because He loves us. All because He's given us His grace. All of those promises, listen, all of those promises are yours to claim and obey and to enjoy and to make real in your life. I would say to you this, it's a word that we don't hear a whole lot, but appropriate those promises for yourself. They're yours. They're yours. Claim them and use them and enjoy them. We can all testify of His free grace, His rich love, His wonderful promises. We can all testify of the pleasure found in serving Him. I can't speak for you, I can speak for me. When I do what I know God wants me to do, there's joy on the inside. There's a pleasure on the inside. There's a friend of mine, he's in heaven now. There's another funeral we went to not that long ago, Sarah, of somebody in our very first church. But he used to say this, God gives you an attaboy. When you do the right thing, God gives you an attaboy or an attagirl. He makes you know that you did the right thing. He makes you know that He's pleased with you. The songwriter said it very well when he wrote these words. There is joy in serving Jesus. And there is. When you and I do the right thing, there's a pleasure or a joy or a satisfaction on the inside. It's because you know you did the right thing, and the Spirit of God tells you that. So we are all of us supposed to speak up for Jesus. Number one, every believer has much to say. Number two, my second thought this morning is this. Every believer is compelled to speak. Every believer is compelled to speak. Pastor, how can you say that? Because you have the Holy Spirit inside who is compelling you to speak up for Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God came to live inside of you, to indwell you, each and every one of us, when you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior. Those people, and there were several of them yesterday at that funeral, who stood up on the platform and gave testimony of how God worked in their father's life or in their husband's life or in their brother-in-law's life, and because of his life and testimony worked in their life. Every one of those people who gave testimony were able to do that because the Holy Spirit of God compelled them to speak. One or two of them said this: when I was first asked if I wanted to speak at, let's say, Dad's funeral, my very first reaction was, no, there's no way, I can't do that. But one young man, one of his sons, said this: when I got to thinking about the great life that God gave us when he gave us our dad, I had to speak. I had to say something about how God changed his life and how God worked in his life, and through that, how God worked in my life. Well, the Holy Spirit does that to us. And he compels us from within to speak to others and to tell others what God has done for us. The Holy Spirit is the one who compels us from within to speak to others about the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us. We are compelled by the indwelling Holy Spirit. We are also compelled by gratitude for all that he has done. Let me ask you this. Let's do a survey real quick. Please be honest. With an upraised hand, how many of you are thankful for God and what he's done in your life? Look at that. All over the audience, hands are up. Friend, that's a compulsion to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been so good to you. Numbers of people, because there were several people there yesterday at the funeral who were a part of that very first church, and they learned over time, you know, about some of the health trials that I've had recently, and numbers of them asked me, how am I doing? How you doing? How you feeling? You know, and I had to say to them, you know, I'm doing well. I'm thankful for that. God's taken care of me, and God's helped me through all of this, you know. I don't know about any of the rest of you, because I know that some of you have gone through health challenges in your life, but I told Sarah on the way home from the funeral yesterday, every funeral I've gone to since November of 24, every one of them, I've thought this: that could have been me. Those could be my children up there testifying. That could be my wife up there testifying. That could be my friends up there testifying. That could have been me. But you know what? Not yet. Amen. I'm not bragging or boasting. It's all in the hands of God. But I'm just saying, I'm still standing here, listen, because I'm grateful to God for what he's done for me. He's kept me alive. He still, I guess, has some work for me to do. And so I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to give it my effort. I'm going to give it the vim and vigor that I have to serve my Lord, because I'm grateful for him. I'm grateful that he's given me this church to pastor. I'm grateful that he's given me these friends to minister to. I'm grateful for my wife and my children. I'm grateful for most of my son-in-laws. Hi, Brian. Now, I'll correct that. I'm grateful for all of my son-in-laws. And they are taking care of my daughters well, and their my grandchildren, their children well. And I am thankful for them. Just trying to get a smile out of you. Brian knows I love him, don't you, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
Got him fooled, huh? I'm just having fun. I'm just having fun. I do love Brian. He's been a really good husband and father to that family, and I'm thankful for him. But God has been good to us, hasn't he? And that goodness, that thankfulness then that we have, that gratitude that we have, when you sit and think about all the good things that God's done for you, first of all in saving you, but all that comes even after that, gratitude in the heart should swell and cause us, as a powerful motivating factor, to speak up for Jesus, to tell others about him. Why? Because he could do that for them too, if they would just receive him as their Lord and Savior. So we're compelled, every believer is compelled to speak by the indwelling Holy Spirit, by gratitude for all that he has done. And then how about this? I think about this often. We are compelled to speak up for Jesus by a coming judgment day. A coming judgment day. When is that coming, Pastor? I can't tell you. I don't know. Only God knows. It's in his hands. But I do know this. We're one day closer than we were yesterday. One day closer than we were yesterday. And every one of us, I think, want to hear him say one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So in order to hear that, you have to have done well. And one of the ways to do well is to speak up for our Savior. We know that one day we're going to stand before him, and that day probably is soon, sooner than later. One day soon we're going to stand before him and give an account of our lives. Don't you want to hear "well done"? I know I do. So we're compelled to speak up for him. Number one, every believer has much to say. Number two, every believer is compelled to speak. Now here's my third final point. I have a couple of sub-points, of course. You know I always do. But my third final point is this. Every believer who speaks up for Jesus will receive blessing from him. Every believer who speaks up for Jesus will receive blessing from him. First of all, the blessing of knowing that Jesus is pleased. Do you remember, and I'm sure that you do, but do you remember when Jesus was baptized? John the Baptist is the one who baptized him. And when Jesus arose out of the water, there was a voice heard from heaven. Do you remember what it said? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I'm sure that each and every one of us would love to hear something similar one day. I don't know if you think about this ever, but I do. I think about my Lord watching my life. And I wonder if he is pleased. Now, I'll be the first to admit, I'm pretty certain of this, there are times when he's not. I can't stand up here and say I'm 100% obedient 100% of the time. I can't say that. Please don't understand, it doesn't mean I'm off into all kinds of secret wickedness. I don't mean that, because I do my best to avoid any of that stuff, okay? But I just know me, and I know who I am, and I know how slow I can be sometimes to obey. For instance, speaking up for Jesus. I mean, there have been times in my life when I've been slow to speak up for Jesus. There have been times in my life where I may have been slow to pray about something, or slow to read my Bible, or slow to act when he was wanting me to ask. I mean, there's just times when I didn't obey right away. And there probably have been times when I didn't obey at all. I'm confessing before you today, and I just want you to know I'm human like everyone else. I cannot stand up here and say I'm 100% obedient 100% of the time. But I can say this with all honesty and truthfulness. I am trying to obey him. I want to please him. I want my Heavenly Father to look over the balcony of heaven and look down upon my life and say, "That's my son. And I'm proud of him." I want God to be able to say that. I'm guessing you do too. "This is my son." Not beloved son, because that only belongs to the Lord Jesus. But "this is my son," or "this is my daughter. They've trusted my son as their Savior. This is my child, in whom I am well pleased." If God looks over the balcony of heaven, can he say that of you? And whether he can or can't, don't you want him to be able to say that of you? Again, every believer who speaks up for Jesus will receive blessing from him. First of all, the blessing of knowing that Jesus is pleased. By the way, when Jesus is pleased because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, when Jesus is pleased, you'll know it. You'll know it. Here's the opposite side of that same coin. When Jesus is not pleased, you'll also know it because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. By the way, listen to that still small voice. It's important. You'll know when he's pleased and you'll know when he's not. Every believer who speaks up for Jesus will receive blessing from him. First, the blessing of knowing that Jesus is pleased. Second, the blessing of inward peace. The blessing of inward peace. Inner peace or inward peace comes as a result of walking with God and doing what he wants you to do. Walking with God and doing what he wants you to do. How is it that Peter and John could stand before those government officials and say, look, I know that you don't want us to speak up for the Lord Jesus. I know that you don't want us to preach anymore in his name. But you need to know before we leave here, you need to know that we have to speak up for him. And we plan to speak up for him. And by the way, if you keep reading in the book of Acts, that's exactly what they did. First of all, they went back to their church family and rejoiced with them. But then secondly, they went out and kept on preaching. They had to speak up because of that inward peace that God gave them. That inward peace that God gave them. Listen to this thought. That inward peace that God gave to Peter and John and will give to us was greater than any peace that those government officials could have gave to them. Remember, they threatened them. And then it says they further threatened them before they let them go. The inward peace that God gave them was enough to keep them going for the Lord. And that's what they did. So the blessing of knowing that Jesus is pleased, the blessing of inward peace. Here's a third blessing, the blessing of increased zeal. The blessing of increased zeal. When a believer is faithful to speak up for Jesus, what happens is not more fear, but more zeal. The fear is replaced by zeal. It's an amazing thing. I don't know how to explain it. I've experienced this myself. You're afraid to speak to somebody. You're afraid to talk with somebody. You're afraid to knock on someone's door. You're afraid to invite somebody to church. You're afraid to, you know, speak to someone about spiritual things. But as you speak and as you do what the Lord wants you to do, what happens is the fear leaves and zeal takes its place. You get a more bold outlook on this. And that's why Peter and John could say what they said to those officials. That zeal, that boldness, that courage that God gave them. The fear may have been there before, but it was replaced by a holy boldness and courage and zeal to speak again, which is again exactly what they did. The blessing from the Lord. Every believer who speaks up for Jesus is going to receive blessing from him. First of all, the blessing of knowing that Jesus is pleased. Second, the blessing of inward peace. Third, the blessing of increased zeal. Here's my final subpoint here under this point. The blessing, you ready? Of heavenly reward. The blessing of heavenly reward. I use this verse often, primarily because it's in the Bible at least twice, but it's one of my favorite verses. I got a lot of favorite verses, but this is one. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It's repeated in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I have not seen. Now I'm thinking about my life, all the years that I've been alive on this earth. I've seen a lot of things. You know how it is, right? The advertisers put advertisements in front of us to cause us to want to have, right? The newest car, the newest phone, the newest whatever. That's what they play on. And you would agree with me, I'm sure. We've all seen a lot of things. But think about what the verse says. I have not seen. That tells me when we get to heaven, there's going to be things we've never looked upon before. Things that are wonderful and marvelous. And just would take our breath away. I have not seen, nor ear heard. I've heard a lot of things in my lifetime. I really have. There are things, of course, I've heard I wish I hadn't heard. But there's a lot of things that I've heard is like, wow, boy, to be a part of something like that, huh? or to have that or to enjoy that. Nor ear heard. So there are going to be things in heaven that we're going to hear for the very first time that, again, are just mind-blowing things. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. You hadn't even thought about it. Oh, I don't know. I've thought about a lot of things. I've thought about a lot of things, wonderful things, marvelous things, things that are just mind-blowing. But the Bible says, neither has entered into the heart of man. So there are things in heaven that have never even crossed our thought life. Just imagine. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It kind of gives me the idea of this. You ready? You've heard me say this before too. But it kind of gives me this idea. The best is yet to come. Amen. Have you ever been in a meeting? A church type meeting? Now it could be a Sunday or a Wednesday, or it could be some special meeting. But have you ever been in a meeting where, when it was over, you looked at your watch, you couldn't believe it had been that long. It went by so fast and it was so enjoyable, you didn't even want to leave. I've been in a couple meetings like that. Not usually when I'm preaching, but I've been in a couple meetings like that. I'm thinking about one right now. Sarah, you probably remember this. We were in Fort Worth, Texas. This is many, many years ago. We were in a 12,000-seat auditorium. I think it was the Civic Auditorium in Fort Worth, Texas. 12,000 seats. Listen, the meeting was 3 hours long. 3 hours. No joke. Went by just like that. All the big name at the time, all the big name speakers were there and all the big name singers were there, and it was just a tremendous meeting. It was so much fun. It was so enjoyable. And like, you know, it was gone like that. And it was one of those meetings, just like I was just saying. It went by so fast and we didn't want to leave. But of course, the meeting's over. You got to leave. But I tell you what, to this very day, I've never forgotten that meeting. I've never forgotten that meeting. And there have been a couple like that in my lifetime where I enjoyed it so much. And it was long. But you know what? The time didn't matter because it was so much fun. I have an idea heaven is going to be like that. So enjoyable. So much fun. And by the way, heaven's a long time. I saw something just the other day on the internet. You don't enjoy going to church. You don't like being with God's people. And yet you think you're going to enjoy heaven? I had to agree with that one. If you don't like going to church and you don't like being with God's people, what makes you think you're going to enjoy heaven? But I've been in a few meetings like that where it was so enjoyable, I didn't want to leave. And I think heaven's going to be like that. Of course, it's going to be a long time. But you know what? Every minute of every moment of every day of every week of every year, and of course, there is no time there, but it's all going to be greater than what we've ever imagined. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them, for those that love him. Again, friend, the best is yet to come. So when you think about eternity, how can you not speak up for Jesus? How can you not? Why would you want to keep that from your friends and relatives? Why would you want to keep that from your friends and relatives? Again, we're talking this morning about speak up for Jesus. Number one, every believer has much to say. Number two, every believer is compelled to speak. And number three, every believer who speaks up for Jesus will receive blessing from him. Let me close with just showing you two verses that we read today. Look at chapter 4 of Acts. Look at verse 19 and 20. This is after they called them and threatened them again. Verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And then, of course, you notice again, verse 21, they further threatened them and so forth. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Friend, I hope that as we have gone through this simple little outline this morning and these thoughts this morning, that you and I would have the same attitude that Peter and John had. We have to speak up. We have to speak up. I'm not going to do this survey. I was going to, but I'm not going to. But I will toss it out as a question. Don't raise your hand, please. Don't raise your hand. But please hear my question. I wonder how many of us, if we're honest, how many of us have been too timid about speaking up for Jesus? Let's change that. As we do change that, of course, God will be pleased, and all those good things that I mentioned are all true. But you know another positive result from all that? More people will come to know Jesus as their Savior. More people will come to know Jesus as their Savior. So again, the central thought this morning, speak up for Jesus. That's my encouragement to you today. I'm going to work at that. I hope you will too. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed and no one's looking. We don't want to embarrass anybody this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for this simple outline. Thank you for the privilege that I've had to challenge all these fine people to be more of a spokesman or spokeswoman for the Lord Jesus Christ, to speak about the grace of God and the rich love of God, and speak about the salvation that's so freely offered, to speak about heavenly reward, to speak about all the miracles that He can do for them. Help us, Lord, to be more of a spokesman for You. Help us to not be so timid. Give us more boldness and zeal. Thank You, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to consider these simple thoughts this morning. Bless this invitation. Now have Your will to be accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.